At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating US Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Hello and welcome to the Full of Beans podcast, hosted by myself, Hannah Hickenbotham. Throughout these podcast episodes, we will speak to a range of individuals about their experience of eating disorders, with the aim of increasing awareness and understanding, whilst reducing stigma and isolation. Please note that the topics discussed in this podcast may be triggering for some individuals, so tread lightly, check in with yourself, and reflect on these conversations. This week, I'm joined by Vedika Poddar, and we're going to speak all about Diwali and how you can navigate this with an eating disorder. We also touch on the impact that Indian culture may have on the development of an eating disorder and the normalization of talking about things like diet and food and body image. I really hope that you enjoy this episode and find it useful if you are going to be celebrating Diwali. And if you are, happy Diwali.
Hey! Hi. Okay. I think we're there.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. Oh my God, what absolute stress. Awesome. So thank you so much for joining me. It has been a chore to get this together, mostly on my part, and internets and headphones and all those annoying things, but it's really lovely to have you today on the podcast.
Likewise, I love the work that you're doing, and I find it really great that you know you're having this conversation, because it's such a nuanced topic which no one talks about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's that time of the year where everyone seems to be struggling, so
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important that we do have these conversations, because I think a lot of the time eating disorders maybe aren't spoken about in certain communities and certain religions. And so, you know, this conversation hopefully will really help somebody. So I guess to start with, do you want to share a little bit about yourself and the work that you do?
Okay, so I'm Vedika, and I'm the founder of Kangaroo Minds, which is a mental health initiative which focuses on three things, awareness, support, and knowledge. So through our conversations and through our work, we hope to help beat some of the stigma around mental health and help people reach out for help and remind them that there's always hope and there's always recovery from a mental illness. So that's pretty much what we do. And it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you, Hannah, today, and you know, with all the work that you're doing with the Full of Beans podcast and your blog. So I'm glad that, you know, we've been able to set this up and have this conversation around Diwali and eating disorders, especially with the whole festive season around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's honestly a pleasure to have you. And so with the Kangaroo Minds, is that just based in India, or is that sort of a global thing that you've got set up?
So while I'm based in India at the moment, the work that we do is pretty much global. Mm-hmm. And we try to bring people together from different backgrounds, from different parts of the world, because I think what we forget is that mental health, while there's a lot of nuances, but it's also a very universal topic. So it's good to get, you know, different perspectives and different stories coming out, just to remind people that they're not alone in what they're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think that's often the thing that makes mental health struggles easier, is just kind of, you know, not having that idea of loneliness. And I think that loneliness can be such a big element of people's sort of journey with their mental health, and then realizing, oh, somebody else is experiencing something similar to me, it really changes your perspective, I think. And you think, you know, I'm not the weird one or the odd one out. There's actually other people going through this and getting better as well, and having, you know, better lives with their mental health.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, as you said, it's really important to remind people, because I think, the loneliness and the social withdrawal just goes kind of hand in hand with mental health. And we kind of forget that how it's like this vicious cycle that a lot of times, people feel lonely or they feel the urge to withdraw. And I think that becomes a huge thing around festive season as well, because especially, I know we're going to talk more about Diwali, but just to touch upon a few things, when it's all about festival and people coming together, but if you're struggling, you often don't want to be surrounded by people, or especially in an eating disorder context, you may be in recovery, you may be surrounded by people who don't understand your eating disorder, and that can be really triggering as well.
And as we were talking about loneliness there, actually, I was going to say that's a great tangent into talking more about Diwali, because it's a time where I'm sure a lot of people come together and celebrate, but it may be difficult for somebody struggling with an eating disorder. So I guess to start with, some people may have heard of Diwali, some people might not have. Do you want to kind of explain to us what it is and what it means to you?
So just to give a little bit of context to, Diwali and the festival, because I know it's a very Hindu South Asian thing. So Diwali is often referred to as the Festival of Lights, and it's one of the biggest, most significant festivals in Hinduism. And it is celebrated by a lot of communities around the world. So even in London, you would have the Diwali fair at Trafalgar Square and things. So like a lot of things do happen around Diwali. And Diwali is essentially about celebrating the triumph of light over darkness. So I find that, even from a mental health perspective, very beautiful to talk about, because, even just having these conversations kind of helps remove the stigma and the ignorance. So it's in a way that, and kind of you're helping light a lamp of knowledge to your audiences through the work that you're doing. So it's not just about actual diyas and lamps, but it's also about your inner light to dispel the darkness. So Diwali sort of brings together families. It's about coming together, it's about food, it's about festivities. There'll be fireworks, there'll be, rangoli decorations, a lot of sharing of meals. So from a religious standpoint, Diwali signifies the homecoming of Lord Ram after a long time of being banished into the forest. And it's also devoted to the goddess Lakshmi, which is goddess of wealth and prosperity. So essentially, Diwali is, yes, a week-long festival. So for a lot of people, that can be challenging. It's not just one day, it's not about one meal, it's about 5 to 6 days. And that can be a little overwhelming. It can be a little difficult as well. And I'm sure that's going to be something we'll talk about as we go along.
Thank you so much for explaining. It's really interesting to kind of hear what it's all about and what it means to you. And I really like that sort of, the light out of the darkness, because that feels very poignant in terms of recovery. I think people often think about, coming out of the darkness of whether that's depression or an eating disorder, and then coming out into the light. So that really nicely paints a picture. And you kind of briefly mentioned there things that might be difficult for people. And maybe we could go into more detail for that, because I think that's a really useful thing, if someone's loved one is struggling with an eating disorder, to kind of understand, why they might find this time of year difficult.
So perfect. So I'll just, while we talk about some of the things around Diwali which might be triggering, I think then we can probably move ahead to talking about, what are some ways in which, you look out for yourself, but also you can look out for others who might be struggling. And I guess while we talk about these triggers, it'll also help put Diwali as a festival in some context. So as we
Absolutely.
said, Diwali is about getting people together, it's about food, it's about rituals, it's all of that, but also in today's era, it's equally about social media. Like, it's about the optics, it's about how you're celebrating, it's about telling the world what you're doing for Diwali. So coming to food, which is the most obvious, trigger in this case when we talk about eating disorders specifically. So Diwali concerns a lot of, as I said, families getting together, like a lot of meals, a lot of sweets, and it's a very elaborate meal that's essentially made for Diwali and, like those 4 to 5 days of festivals. And see, and when we talk about eating disorders, it's not just about anorexia, but it's also about, for instance, binge eating, it's also about taking into account, you know, like body image concerns, even about people who might not be formally diagnosed but are still struggling with thoughts around eating disorders. So the most obvious that you can see in terms of the food part is that for a lot of people, there's this sort of fear of overeating, but there's also a lot of fear of gaining weight, which comes with Diwali, you know, because as soon as Diwali is over, we are all spammed with like these jokes about, you know, how we have to lose our festive weight and things. So you will hear all these very insensitive memes, such as, you know, like the tummy returns and, you know, things like that, because, you know, people take it very casually that, yes, you gain weight during Diwali. And the other aspect of Diwali around food is that for a lot of cultural communities, within even within Hinduism, different families, different, you know, sects of people are going to celebrate Diwali differently. So for a lot of people, Diwali also includes fasting.
Right, okay.
You know, so you would typically fast the day and maybe would eat at the night after you've prayed and finished all the rituals. Mm-hmm. So, you know this better than me, Hannah, or someone with an eating disorder, kind of telling them that, hey, you have to fast, especially when you're in recovery, you're trying to break out of those, you know, unhealthy eating patterns. That can be extremely difficult. And of course, so that's one aspect of like the food aspect. And now moving on to like the other thing about Diwali is festive attire. Typically, Diwali is when people get new clothes. So okay. You would get new clothes. And new clothes can feel uncomfortable. You know, like especially when, I mean, and it's not just for someone with an eating disorder, but let's say also someone post the pandemic. You know, like all of us have changed in terms of, you know, our bodies have changed, our lifestyles have changed. So for a lot of people, and especially if you struggle with an eating disorder, you know, that change in fit can feel really, really uncomfortable. And sort of, you know, festive attire kind of tends to, you know, heighten body image concerns. You start having these negative thoughts about your appearance because also, you know, moving from that, it's like you're going to be meeting people, you're going to be seeing, you know, content on social media. And, you know, it's just about this isn't the right fit. And a lot of Diwali shopping, for instance, happens at these exhibitions and trade fairs. So, again, you know, you will have a lot of unsolicited comments being made on their body type. So, for instance, if you go to a store, someone's going to look at you and kind of assume what size of clothes you're going to wear. You know, so it can feel very difficult. It can feel extremely triggering. And then moving on from, you know, the food and the clothes and, you know, sort of now coming down to people and like the social aspect of Diwali. So socializing with people can be difficult because not just from an eating disorder perspective, but let's also briefly touch upon, you know, like toxic families, sort of that whole notion of toxic positivity around Diwali that, you know, hey, you have to be positive, you have to be happy because, you know, you're going to bring everyone down and, you know, or you'll just tell someone who's struggling with an eating disorder that it's okay, you can eat, you know, it's one day of the year, you know. You know, you can lose the weight later. And I think those kind of comments are really triggering for people and really difficult. And one thing very common in Indian culture is that we, I don't know for what reason, but we tend to pass a lot of comments about people's weight and people's bodies. So for even if you don't know the person too well, you know, you're meeting them on Diwali because a lot of Diwali is also meeting and greeting people. So, you know, there will be a lot of unsolicited comments on your weight or your body size or, you know, your eating patterns, which can also make you very conscious to eat in front of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be because somebody who might be recovering would have, like, you know, like they might just be building up an appetite or, you know, working towards it, but it could also be someone who is eating more and, you know, like, you know, comment on that. And I think that becomes really uncomfortable. And it's interesting because I remember having this conversation with someone else from the UK who is also in the space of eating disorders. And I was telling her that how in an Indian context, the term healthy is not exactly a compliment. So when I tell someone that you're looking healthy, I'm essentially implying that you are looking fat. So it's just weird. You know, if someone tells me I'm looking healthy, my first thought's going to be like, oh my God, have I put on weight?
Which I would say is quite common, you know, when someone's recovering from an eating disorder, if they've had anorexia, that tends to be that when people say you're looking healthy, that's the instant kind of, oh my God, like they've recognized I've gained weight, or like, you know, my body's changed or whatever. So it's interesting that, you know, for someone with an eating disorder, that's also the same thing within Indian culture.
That's interesting, because I didn't quite know that this is culturally, like, you know, thing. But in India, the term healthy has always implied chubby.
Right.
Essentially. Okay. So like, if you say that someone's a healthy baby, you mean that they're a chubby baby.
Yeah.
You know, you don't necessarily mean that they're doing well in terms of their physical health and things. You mean that they're chubby. So, you know, like, also the whole families getting together and things can put a lot of pressure on people to engage with other people, to indulge sort of in festivities. And we know that, you know, how eating disorders even sort of tend to link in with people's moods, for instance, or just, you know, poor mental health in general. You don't necessarily want to be surrounded by people. You want to socially withdraw, but you can't essentially do that. So it is definitely hard. And, you know, for instance, as we said, like fasting and things. And
prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. LifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You know, exchanging of sweets and food, like a lot of the things gifts are exchanged, like, you know, dry foods and food and sweets. It can be hard for someone who's struggling. You know, like, so much of it is around food and, you know, having to conform, and then conversations around clothes and body image and, you know, all of that. And then sort of to top all of this up, you would have things like social media, you know, where you see people posting the kind of time that they're having a great time, they're enjoying themselves, which can also make a lot of people feel guilty to see other people, you know, that, hey, they can enjoy their food, but I can't enjoy my food, or, you know, that I'm struggling through Diwali, but they're having, like, a really great, you know, festive season and things. So I think those are a couple of things which I feel that could be really triggering. And just sort of, you know, being aware of that can help going into the season and just sort of knowing what to expect.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting. I think for anybody struggling with eating and body image, you know, these festivities can be quite a challenge, because there is such a kind of a celebration around food, and food is the main element. And I wondered there, you know, you were saying about how it's kind of, you know, normalized for people to comment on people's bodies and maybe what people are eating and stuff. Like, do you have any thoughts about why that is so normalized, and is it like a generational thing? Because for me personally, like my older generation, just like my grandma or stuff, it would still be quite normal for her to comment on maybe what I was eating and what I was, you know, the shape of my body, but my peers wouldn't do that. But I wonder whether in Indian culture it's the same, or if it's sort of everybody comments.
I think, you know, obviously, like, it sort of depends, but I think there's a lack of awareness in general about eating disorders. People don't realize that why they shouldn't comment. They just feel that it's perfectly normal to comment about people's weight. Like, you will meet people after a year, after 2 years, after a long time, and they will just lay it on you. So I think there's also, like, Indian culture essentially places quite a lot of importance on, like, you know, beauty standards and physical appearance, and, you know, like, there's this sort of, you know, that thin ideal sort of thing. So
is that the same thin ideal as sort of in Western culture? Right.
So thin is beautiful, tragically. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so when you kind of grow up in that environment, So, and a lot of this I've noticed is also very generational, right? So, like, you know, if the mom has had like her parents restricting her eating habits, she's likely to do that to her kids. And, you know, so at a young age, if you've been through restrictive eating, it's not like you've chosen anorexia, but it's kind of happened to you. So when you kind of grow up, it's really hard to break out of that pattern of saying, you know, hey, like, I can eat and I don't have to worry about gaining weight because you've kind of been conditioned into that. So that is definitely something, you know, I think that. So of course, like if you're good friends with someone, you generally know, like, you know, social code, so you're not going to talk about it, but it's weird in how many contexts weight comes up and it has nothing to do with the occasion, it has nothing to do with the conversation. It will just be
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because I think that's a global thing now. Like, it's just so normal for weight and food and things like that to just come up wherever you are. But I'm just thinking, you know, you highlighted some really good points there in terms of like food and the festivities. And I think it is really important to think about the range of different eating disorders. So, you know, somebody that's maybe recovering from anorexia and they're struggling to eat more, or somebody that's maybe binging and they're struggling with all the food in the house, and not then binging on that, or, you know, engaging in purging behaviors that you normally do in secrecy, but now you've got all these people around you and you can't. So, do you have any sort of tips for people when they're going into Diwali? Because I can imagine for a lot of people, it might also be that they won't have seen family members for a while. People might not know what's going on with their eating disorder and their recovery. So, what tips would you advise people for navigating that?
Yeah, and you know, I like how you kind of highlighted the different eating disorders, but I'll just add one more thing that, you know, like in terms of sort of, you know, for people struggling with an eating disorder or being in recovery, like, you know, safe foods is a huge thing, you know, like you need, but then when it comes to fasting or it comes to, you know, Diwali, there's usually like, you know, certain foods which are made like traditionally, there's almost like a set menu in every household. For Diwali, and like any house you talk to is eating the same thing through Diwali. So it's almost like, you know, for someone, their safe food might not feature on that list. So it could be a little difficult. But yeah, coming to you know, how we can look after ourselves through Diwali, and then maybe later we can talk about how we can look out for someone else. But I think one of the most important things is especially from an eating disorder perspective, is to kind of have your boundaries in place, like whether it's around food, whether it's around interactions with people, whether it's around, you know, the festivities, like just trying to make sure you're not overwhelmed. And one of the ways in which we can have boundaries is almost as simple as, you know, meal planning. Like talk to a loved one in your family who knows that you're struggling so that, you know, they can help you cope with some of the anxiety around food during that time. And you know, lean into your support system. I know it can be really, really hard to meet, you know, family members and sort of, you know, people can be toxic. You might not have the best dynamic with everyone in your family, and it can be hard. So, you know, having those boundaries in place and sort of, you know, use affirmations. You can have like a self-care plan in place. And when it comes to eating, like coming back to eating, because you know the huge part of Diwali will also center around food, and of course this whole conversation is around eating disorders. I think it's kind of also important to sort of, you know, savor the moment. So sometimes like let yourself enjoy the food without feeling guilty about it. You know, that's equally important. Like I'm not going to say that, oh, you know, like of course, keep in mind your recovery goals. Keep in mind, you know, what works for you, what doesn't work for you. But also, you know, like in that moment, like you don't have to punish yourself if you've eaten. You know, I feel like that guilt which comes with eating, especially during the festivities and post festivities, can be really hard. And I'm sure, like, even you've seen it, like, you know, abroad in a very Christmas context, like, you know, post holiday guilt and all of that. So that's the equivalent of our post Diwali guilt, Hannah. So, you
Yeah,
know, but
it's interesting. It is sounding so similar in terms of the pressures that are put on people. And I was thinking as you were saying that, like, you know, from my perspective, it relates a lot to Christmas in the UK with, you know, having all the pressure to eat, having all the pressure to be sociable, and the pressure to put on a nice outfit and feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, all you want to do is hide in your room and kind of shy away from everyone.
Yeah. And I think that can be really, really hard, right, for a lot of people. So I think also sort of, you know, having self-care in place. And you know what, there's more to Diwali than just food. So you can look at focusing on non-food related activities. So, you know, whether it's lighting diyas, whether it's about decorating your house, whether it's about playing games, you know, whether it's just about meeting family, like, you know, sort of try and cherish the essence of Diwali beyond food. And sort of bringing all this back to the whole social media thing, because that's definitely, it adds to it, right? Because the way people post, the way people dress, if need be, take a social media detox during the party. It's not a bad idea sometimes, you know, just to kind of be more mindful about how we use social media. Because if you know that it's going to be hard for you, if you know you're in recovery and that's not something you can handle, there's no point sort of putting yourself through that.
I really like that, actually, because I think a lot of the time I know when I'm like kind of struggling with something, that's when I go on social media and I almost seek like to make myself feel bad or to compare myself to others. So that's a really good idea, because I think it allows you to actually enjoy what you're doing, because you're not then thinking, oh, you know, bloody blah's got a nicer dress than me, or bloody blah seems to be having more fun with their family. But I think you highlighted some really good points there about having your self-care and being able to communicate with you know, at least one person to feel that you've got someone to talk to. But I think when I said about, you know, all you want to do is sit in your room and just be on your own, I think also recognizing that it is okay to have some time out. You know, you don't have to be socializing constantly. You don't have to be engaging in it constantly. It is okay to take a bit of time, you know, have some downtime on your own. And I was just wondering as well, so we did... I did a podcast ages ago when it was Ramadan, and we were talking about fasting then, and you know, the impact that can have on eating disorders. And when you're celebrating Diwali, is fasting something that you have to do, or is there sort of not ways around it, but like, I guess, exclusions for people if they're struggling with their health?
Fasting is not essentially mandatory during Diwali. But some people do choose to fast, which is fine. And there would be some people who would believe that, you know, like, for instance, on the first day of Diwali, which is like Dhanteras, when you pray to Lakshmi, sometimes that puja happens late at night. So people believe that, you know, they'll eat only post finishing the Diwali ritual. So your meal times, for instance, can go a little off balance. But yeah, as you said, like, you know, just coming back to people, like looking after yourself, I think it's really important, because I think we overhype this thing that you have to be happy during festival time, and you know, you're gonna pull everyone else down, and you know, that we should be more grateful and let joy into our lives, etc., etc. But I think it's equally important to let ourselves have a day. If we're having a day, like, just take it as it comes. And as we said, like, you know, having boundaries in place and having a self-care plan in place, and sort of just talking to someone ahead of time that you are struggling, can really help you sort of avoid that sense of overwhelm when you get to it. So just sort of being prepared in advance. But I mean, that being said, not everything in life can be planned for, right? Like, there's going to be unexpected situations, there's probably going to be triggers. And I think for those times, I think it's really important to be kind to ourselves and just sort of not be unforgiving to ourselves. So just sort of remember that, if, you know, as they say, like, imagine if your best friend was having that, or, you know, your favorite cousin, or your favorite, you know, like, your closest sibling was going through that situation, would you tell them something on the lines of, hey, you know, you're ruining the festive mood, or are you just going to sit with them and kind of, you know, be like, it's okay, you know, we'll get through this and whatever. So kind of, it's important to treat ourselves the way we would treat people we love.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's why it's so important to have somebody that you can talk to if you need to, and that you can trust. And I think often we think about parents or a partner, and I don't think it needs to be. I think it can be, you know, anybody that you can trust and that you can rely on. And you know, if there isn't somebody, then things like journaling, I think, can be a great resource to be able to just have a moment with yourself and to be able to reflect on what's going on. And this may be a controversial thing, but I'm also very much of the opinion after, you know, years of recovery during festivities, and sometimes it's actually really good to just try and embrace it as much as you can and see it as a challenge. And, you know, that can be really difficult, but I think really being able to hold on to the fact that, you know, this is your recovery. And, you know, somebody may make a comment about the amount of food that everyone's eating or the exercise that they're not doing or the way that they feel in their outfit, but that's their own feelings, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't need to reflect on how you feel in yourself, and you're recovering from an eating disorder. So, you know, if they say that they want to fast because they're then going to eat more in the evening, that's what they want to do. But, you know, if for you fasting would mean that you're then going to really struggle in the evening when it comes to eating, then for you that's not right. And for me, I think that's the most important thing, is just really staying in your lane and being able to do what's right for you so that everyone can have a nice time.
Yeah, no, I think that, you know, I think you really put it out there really well, that, you know, kind of it works differently for different people, right? Like someone would want to fast because of religious reasons, but you also have to make sure that when someone's fasting, that they're not doing it to kind of encourage them to eat in this way. But it's coming from a healthy place. They're mindful of what they're doing, the way they're what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think just the other people around, I think, you know, whether or not someone has an opportunity to move on to conversations about food, weight, and body image. So, you know, there's so many more things we can talk about. Like when we meet people, for instance, you can share family stories, you can talk about good times, you can talk about, you know, bucket lists, you can talk about films, books, cinema, you know, things that we're grateful for. All of those things as well. So it's not that every conversation has to kind of boil down to food and eating and, you know, how much is this one eaten and what's the latest diet going around, etc., etc. It doesn't have to be about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes when situations are so focused around food, and obviously food is a big part of Diwali, but at the end of the day, you know, you're coming together to enjoy being with each other and, you know, the celebration of light. So food is an element of it, but it's not the biggest element, like you've said. And I just kind of, just to finish us off, I know we kind of mentioned it at the start, I wanted to just touch, if somebody is listening and, you know, they're thinking, my loved one is coming and I'm worried about the fact that they're in recovery and I don't want to negatively impact them, what tips would you give somebody supporting somebody with their recovery to make sure that Diwali is a process, a time that everyone can enjoy, but it's also supportive for their recovery?
I think that's an amazing question to kind of end up, like, you know, to roll up the whole conversation we had today. And I think, you know, encourage honest conversations. If you know that a loved one has an eating disorder, sort of educate yourself a bit more about it. Be aware of their triggers. You can encourage some self-care as well. And you can also possibly help them plan ahead of time. So you could, for instance, tell them what's being made. Is there something particular that, you know, if you could accommodate certain food requests, for instance, you could also encourage non-food related activities, you know, during gatherings. So for instance, as we said, like you could do some decoration, you could do, for instance, diya painting, or, you know, you could do rangolis, you can sort of play games, you can have conversations and sort of keep an eye out for them as well. So just kind of look out for their recovery patterns, make sure that they are not showing signs of poor mental health or relapse. And if they are, sort of check in with them, remind them that you're there, but do not go up to them with this whole toxic positivity thing that, you know, you're bringing down the mood, or, you know, that just don't make them feel worse about how they're feeling, because it's very likely that they know that they're struggling, but they just need someone to be there for them. So if need be, have that conversation. And lastly, I mean, as I said, you know, there's so much more to the body than just food. So, you know, focus on this festival, focus on celebrating the love, the light, and the togetherness that comes with Diwali as well.
Yeah, that's lovely. I think, like, that's the thing, isn't it? We kind of focus so much on food in this day and age, but there's so much more, and just coming together is really special and being able to celebrate. And I just wanted to ask as well, in terms of, because I think you mentioned at the start, like, within Indian culture, there's maybe not a lot of awareness about mental health, particularly eating disorders. And obviously you're doing great work to increase the awareness of mental health. But what do you think needs to change within Indian culture itself in order for people to feel more able to share about their mental health and to have like more understanding of what people are going through?
I think number one, we need more openness and honesty around these conversations. And moving from that, a lot of the stigma needs to be countered, and a lot of stigma is different for different generations, right? But coming back to Indian culture, coming back to Indian religion, I think a lot of times people who are struggling kind of get told that, you know, hey, if you pray to God, this will go away. Or, you know, I was on a panel where I was recently asked, and I know for like, you know, your audience, this might seem absurd, but for the audience who was sitting there, this felt to them like a normal question, but you and I may think that this is really strange. But they were like, you know, is your karma and your past life actions related to you developing a mental health condition in your current life? And so when you come from that place of awareness and that those are, I mean, everyone's going to have their own faith, right? Like, I'm not challenging people's faith and beliefs and things here, but sort of when you start blaming people's past lives or their other, like, you know, sins and things for them struggling now, I think you kind of make people feel really helpless about recovery. So I think a lot of it needs, like, the narrative needs to change, you know? So for instance, how casually we talk about mental illness, you know, we just throw around words, and a lot of it also comes down to our education system, for instance, because kids in schools, for instance, would be taught that, you know, like, for instance, when you're learning English, your teacher is very likely to tell you that, you know, hey, don't write that you're feeling sad. Say you're feeling depressed. Don't say that, you know, the girl was skinny. Say she's anorexic. Or don't say that the weather is so unstable. Say the weather is bipolar. So it's just about how casually we throw around mental health terms.
Wow.
You know, like, even in newspapers, if you watch our news, you will see, you know, people calling, like, one politician will call another politician schizophrenic. They'll be like, this one's on a suicide mission. And I think that's just how casually the words are used.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we realize how much weight those words carry.
Yeah.
So a lot of things need to change. And I think just sort of having conversations, open conversations, I think it can make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's shocking. I think I can't believe people would use terms like that so flippantly. But I guess then as well, if you are using terms so flippantly, it then kind of makes it like not have any meaning. But I think it also, you know, when you say like, oh, you know, they were so bipolar or whatever, it gives the word then people have a stigma about what that, you know, mental health illness is then like. And, you know, often that's really misjudged and makes her then think people want to speak out less because they're then thinking, oh, if I say I've got this, then actually people are going to think, you know, X, Y, and Z about me. But I think it's so great that people like yourself are, you know, having these conversations and building this awareness, because I'm sure so many people are feeling much less alone. And I think as well, you're leading by example as well. And, you know, by talking about it, people then feel, oh, they're talking about it, so I feel like I can talk about it now, which I think is often, you know, that's how you get the ball rolling with things like that. So, you know, thank you for the work that you're doing.
No, that's really kind of you, Hannah, and the admiration is absolutely mutual. I'm so glad we could have this conversation. And I hope this not only helps, you know, your audiences, like in the UK, but also for a lot of people back home in India who might be watching this. You know, I hope that they kind of feel a little less, you know, afraid around food and interactions this festive season, so that they can have a happy Diwali.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really hope so too. And hopefully the listeners have really enjoyed this episode. Where can they find out more information about you if people want to kind of get involved, or if they're struggling and need some support?
You can head over to our website, www.kangarooMinds.com, or you can find us on Instagram as well. So we put out a lot of content and things, so that might be really helpful.
Brilliant. And I just have to, before you go, I have to ask, why Kangaroo Minds?
A really fun question. So also a question I get asked about. So Kangaroo Minds came from a place where it's like, if you actually think about your mind, like, the way I picture it, it's kind of like a kangaroo kind of goes from one thing to another thing to another thing. Mm-hmm. So that movement happens very quickly, but also like a kangaroo, like kind of punching down, your mind can sometimes really, really punch you down. So it's just about kind of keeping your mind in control and not letting it go all over the place sometimes.
Keep bouncing as a kangaroo would. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's been lovely chatting with you.
Is there kind of a way in Indian that we say Happy Diwali?
It's Happy Diwali.
Okay, amazing. Perfect. Well, I really hope you enjoy your Diwali, and thank you so much for, you know, sharing insight and what it means to you. It's been really lovely to chat.
Likewise, thank you for having me, and I look forward to staying in touch.
If you enjoyed listening today, you won't want to miss next week's episode, so be sure to subscribe. Eating disorders are crippling illnesses, but with the right support, they can be recovered from. We really hope you enjoyed this episode, but if you require more support right now, please look into charities such as First Steps and Beat for support, or talk to someone you trust.